This has been Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. Email rknight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at WBAI.org.
That is the captain of Alpha Centauri. We must be out of our minds. Though we are shipmates and bound for tomorrow, everyone here's flying blind. But we must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. Matt is a crew bound for Alpha Centauri. Dreamers and poets and clowns. But bold is the ship bound for Alpha Centauri, and nothing can turn it around. But we must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. We must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have the universe at your command. We must believe in magic. We must believe in the guiding hand. 'Cause if you believe in magic, you have.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a Wednesday night, Thursday morning program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. Well, this morning we're going to imagine that you're going to help pledge and bit more survival from this radio station. It'll be a tight one, but give it a whirl.
Waves in the moonlight, to the train in the moonlight and galloped him away to the rest. Gypsy's ribbon looping the purple board. A redcoat troop keep marching, marching, marching. King George's men came marching up to the olden door. They said no word to the landlord. They drank his ale instead. But they gagged his daughter and bound her to the foot of a narrow bed. Two of them the casement with muskets at the side. There was death at every window, hell at one dark window. For Bess could see through the casement the road he would ride. They tied her up to attention with many a sniggering jest. They had bound a musket beside her with a barrel beneath the breast. Now keep good watch, and they kissed her. She heard the dead man say, look for me by the moonlight, watch for me by the moonlight. I come to thee by the moonlight, though hill should bar the way. She twisted her hands behind her with all the knots in good. She writhed her hands till her fingers were wet with sweat. They stretched and strained in the darkness, and the hours crawled by like years. Till now, on the stroke of midnight, called on the stroke of midnight, the tip of her finger touched it, the trigger at least was hers. Were they deaf, they did not hear. Down the ribbon of moonlight, over the brow of the hill, the highwayman came riding, riding, riding. The redcoats looked to the priming, she stood up straight and still. Toddle out in the frosty signs, toddle out in the echoing night. Nearer came and nearer, her face was like a light. Her eyes grew wide for a moment, she drew a last deep breath. Then her finger moved in the moonlight, her musket shot at the moonlight. Shattered her breast in the moonlight, and wound him with a death. He turned his spur to the west, he did not know she stood. Bowed with her head of the musket, drenched with her own red blood. Not till the dawn he heard it, his face could play to hear. Ah, there's the landlord's daughter, the landlord's black-eyed daughter, had watched for her love in the moonlight and died in the darkness there. And back he sped like a madman, shrieking a curse to the sky. With a white road smoking behind him, and his Arabia brandished high. Blood red were the spurs of the golden moon, wine red with his velvet coat. When they shot him down on the highway, down like a dog on the highway. And he lay in his blood on the highway, with a bunch of lace at his throat. Stealing winter's night is seen, when the wind is in the trees, when the moon is a ghostly galleon tossed upon the cloudy seas, when the road is a ribbon of moonlight over the purple moon, a highwayman comes riding, riding, riding. A highwayman comes riding up to the old inn door.
Lorena McKinnitt with my second favorite musical version of The Highwayman. My first favorite, of course, would have to be Phil Oakes. But this one, it's got a sentimental feel. It's got, well, I mean, obviously a sentimental feel, but it has a mood, a texture. There's the word I was looking for. It has a texture that seems appropriate for 1:45 a.m. in New York City over WBAI in New York and on a show called Hour of the Wolf. We have no set agenda for this morning. This week and next are pitching weeks. They have changed how the overnight shows are to be pitched. Everything is changing. Every little thing here at WBAI is changing, except for maybe some of our time slots. Well, the less said about that by me right now, the better. But anyway, we are moving. We are leaving our domicile of the last, I guess it's 11, it's about 11 or 12 years. To me, home, the home of WBAI really was the church on 62nd Street. And the beginning of the end of that came, about this time of year. In 1977, it was February 1977, in what was probably, I think, politically at least, the worst point in WBAI history. And things were so bad that for reasons that are yet unclear all these years later, we sold that property. We owned that property. We owned that building, and it was sold for a song. Our current, Pacifica's current executive director, is a realtor. She's an L.A. realtor. I don't think they come any fiercer than people who deal in real estate in Los Angeles. And when I met her at a staff meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I told her, you know, that the place was sold and how much it was sold for, what we were told at least. She simply said, there's something wrong there. And yes, indeed. But, you know, this is long ago in the past. For me, it's still an open wound. But the loss of that church was a sad, sad thing. It was a place where we held concerts. It was a place that was truly our own. Before, we had been in two locations before that. We started as a commercial radio station in the Hotel Pierre. No, I was not there. I did not start at WBAI until 1967. And at that point, we were at 30 East 39th Street. I was 13 years old, and I went in to answer phones. But I think that was not a job that they did let me do it, especially late at night when there weren't too many other volunteers. But during the day when I was there, I was the bouncer downstairs. This is a tiny little brownstone of a building, and they made me the bouncer. Somebody basically just checked people in downstairs. We left 39th Street in the very early 70s. We started doing things at the church even before we moved in there. We had concerts there and special events. But we actually moved to the church in 1971, I believe. And we were there through late 77, a mere 8 years, not long in the history of WBAI, but certainly one that was super important and resounded. So we left there to a temporary facility, 505 8th Avenue, a temporary facility. We were there for 19 years. That's how temporary it was. We were told it would be a year or two. And then, after a great deal of strife, there's always internal strife here at WBAI. After a certain amount of strife, our station manager, Valerie Van Isler, located us where we are now at 120 Wall Street with a great triumph on the grounds that this building has or had, I do not know the details. I know now we're paying like $33,000 a month or something like that, rent. And but when we moved in, our space was subsidized. I have no idea what it was when we moved in. But when people say, "Oh, we can't afford to be here anymore," is it because our income has gone down or because our rent has gone up? I'm not sure. I don't know these facts. I don't sit on these boards. I try not to get involved in those politics. But move we are. Move is imminent. We were supposed to have moved by now, and we would have been moved by now had it not been for Verizon phone lines not yet being in our new location. Our new location is supposed to be in a very beautiful, very nice, but thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly inconvenient place. Very hospitable, good people, nice space, it sounds like, if smaller, but we don't use our space now as it is, but fragmented. Our offices will be located, already are located, in the World Financial Center, where we got some, I think, basically space as a handout. And we will be sharing space with Voice of Harlem Radio, WHRC, I believe, are their call letters. And the people there are very forthcoming, very giving. There was a tour of the space last night. I was not able to attend because I had a New York Review of Science Fiction reading event last night. But we'll find out soon enough. For me, living in the south of Brooklyn, traveling to Wall Street, a place I can get to by car service or taxi, at this hour I do treat myself, not the same as 137th Street, and then a walk up the famed or perhaps infamous Vinegar Hill, which is supposed to be a very steep incline. Does not sound good in inclement weather, the kind of which we're supposedly going to see in the next day or two. I'm not just reminiscing. I'm telling you all this for a reason. This move is a financial move. It is not just WBAI that, you know, we've been telling you for years, you got to support us, you got to do this, you got to do that. I am not blaming it on you. I'm not blaming it on the listeners. The listeners who listen, I think, come through. You support the programming, you subscribe, but listenership has dropped. And that's not just because of the internet and things. That has to do with society. It has to do with, frankly, I think, programming. It has to do with many factors. It's complicated, as they say. Our relationship here, well, it's complicated. But also, this is now a Pacifica-wide problem. It is not just that WBAI is hemorrhaging money. I was told by one station manager that they, too, are hemorrhaging money. And our executive director, our interim executive director, Summer Reese, said that we are facing what is, to her, the worst nightmare. Our Washington station is moving at the same time we are. This is not good. But while there have been movements in the past to try to do frequency swaps, sell the frequency, blah, 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 they can't just sell it. You know, it has to go to a nonprofit, to a community radio station. But we have been assured, and I actually do believe these people when they say they have no interest in getting rid of a Pacifica presence in New York. Now, will that be a WBAI presence? I'm not sure. Obviously, more network programming will be coming our way. But more to the point, our budget has to come way, way down. And in addition to that, our supportership must go way, way up. Ah, you thought that's where I was going, didn't you? Oh, you were right. Not only that, we are preparing for moving into this new space. As I said, by now we were supposed to have been there. We have actually outsourced. We are outsourcing our pledge taking. When I started at the station in 1967, that's what I was doing, was answering phones. Now we have a firm that is handling this for us, at least for the nonce, with a most strange phone number. It's 516-620-3602, although I do have to say that does flow off the tongue nicely, better than the last one that we were being given. I don't even see where that is, and I want that because I may be wanting to take calls on the air. Ah, there it is. And that's a 917 number. Yes, our life since Hurricane Sandy has largely been taken over by what can we and can't we do with phone lines. I remember when I started at WBAI, we had an Oxford 7 number. I don't want to give that number because it's been reassigned. People have these numbers now. And so if I give these old phone numbers on the air, people will answer them. At that time, it used to be that if you wanted to call to pledge, there was one number. If you wanted to call the studios, there was another number. And then there was the barter department, which was a very strange and curious entity. Although not necessarily a huge money-making one, it was a good community kind of a fix, and it was a lot of fun. I worked in the barter department, really enjoyed it. And of course, by the time we moved to the church in those days, you couldn't take a phone number with you. So we had two phone numbers at the church, the on-air phone number and the pledge line phone number, which was a variant on the offices. Then, of course, it all changed again at 505 8th Avenue, and it changed again here at 120 Wall Street. But now this is at least our third number for pitching, at least, since we moved here. And it may be our most important number because this is the number we are going to need for right now if we are going to survive. This is not a imagine a future without. This is that for a short time we were without during the madness that was Hurricane Sandy. We are, although the people pulled together so well to bring us back on the air, but communications were difficult. It was a tough time. But now we are moving. We're moving to a small facility. I would say with our tails between our legs, hopefully things will be good, but people are going to be producing more from home. A lot of people, myself included, are going to figure out how are we going to make that trip. I mean, even if it's not a problem for me to find my way from the one end of Brooklyn to the opposite end in Manhattan, it's real difficult in the middle of the night to get guests to go there. Something that, you know, has to be dealt with. And then, and it's not a question of safety or perceptions about Harlem. It's about, you know, getting people to go all the way north at a time when the subways are barely running. Hell, it's bad enough down here. There are people that live in on the west side of Manhattan that find it nigh impossible to get down here to 120 Wall Street because the subways, ever since 9/11, have been so scanty, I think is a good word. So, that's what it comes down to. Now, the other thing, as Robert said when I was coming in, I ran into him, and Robert Knight says to me, it's difficult flying blind. Oh, yes. Because it means I can't go into the tally room and find people there asleep, awake, or anything like that. The tally room is somewhere wherever the 516 number is located. And that sort of intimates that it's probably on the Big G on Long Island. But so I have no way of knowing if and when phone calls are coming in. But I just know. I just know that you've been calling nonstop since I came on, right? Now, you also know. I'm not doing premiums pitching this week. I may do that next week. I'm not doing premiums pitching. I'm doing WBAI pitching. I'm doing a straightforward, for God's sakes, support us. For your sake. Forget the gods. For your sake, support us. For my sake. Well, it's not like we get paid. But our facilities, our ability to produce radio, and all of this is dependent on having a station that can survive. And oh my, we have been playing brinkmanship here. It's a very serious situation. Times were that, well, we're part of the Pacifica Foundation. We get into trouble, Pacifica can pull us out. Now it's sort of the other way around. Pacifica needs the stations to pull them out. Pacifica has given all that it can give and beyond. And now it's time to take care of the entire group of stations. And We're not the flagship. Well, maybe we are the flagship station in some ways, being that we broadcast to the largest listening area in the country, not just of Pacifica. It's New York, folks. Let's understand that. Sometimes we hear about that and, you know, from other people in other Pacifica stations, and it's like, no. This is New York. From our transmitter in the Empire State Building, we reach, including transients, including people coming in and out of the area, at 50,000 effective radiated watts coming out of that transmitter. We can reach a potential 30 million people, okay? Now, you know the old story. If every one of those people gave 10 cents, all of our troubles, financial troubles anyway, would be over. But right now what I'm asking for is 25 clams, 25 bucks, $25 to become a member of WBAI, to become a listener sponsor, to support this fabulous thing that we have here by calling area code 516-620-3602. Yeah, I like that number. I like that number. It actually flows. The last number that we had, which was 917-580-6021, I couldn't get a flow out of it. This one is okay. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. It'll work. It'll do for this week anyway, and probably next. But it won't work. It won't do us any good if you don't call it. Make a call now. Make a pledge now. Area code 516-620-3602. Now, I do have plans for actually playing some programming this morning. I'm not very planned, but I did think as I was leaving, I was talking to Janet Coleman earlier and thinking about days gone by and halcyon days and things like that. And I thought just maybe, I will broadcast my first WBAI broadcast appearance. Okay, why did that just go blank on me? And this would be from, I think it's 1967. No, what am I saying? No, 1968, 69, somewhere in that vicinity, okay? And the show was Poison Darts, the wonderful show conceived by David Dozer and Janet Coleman, Otis McClay and Blanche Marker. And it was one of the things that I really did enjoy listening to. Ah! An EBS test. How charming. They do usually happen around this time. Hear that noise? Okay. If you hear a high, shrill whistle in your telephone, Mr. President, that's New York. Oh, sorry. Wrong movie. Anyway. Let me just make sure. Print on a little piece of paper. It is sort of cool the way it works. Let's see. Audio out. And the EOM's the end of message signal. Yeah. This has just been a test. Had it been a real emergency, well, okay. So, also, this particular episode of Poison Darts was from Washington's birthday. And as such, well, we're near there now. So, let's see. Will this work? Will this actually play? I'm taking this off a website. PoisonedArts.com, as a matter of fact. And, it's using a PLS file, a streaming file. Let's see.
Hello?
Yep, it's working. Okay, so in just a little while, I heard PZ there. In just a little while, we're going to listen to that episode of Poisoned Arts, the George Washington American birthday party. And, yeah, I guess I was about 15 years old when I was in that. And while my appearance is totally embarrassing, the episode isn't. And I was talking with Janet just the other day saying, we ought to play those entire episodes again. You know, not just an occasional appearance on Cat Radio Cafe where Janet and David still hold court, but there needs to be a place for things like Poisoned Arts and rebroadcasts of the greats of WBAI in years past. I am willing, however, to take phone calls on things regarding science fiction, fantasy, or WBAI and some of the history, given the 77 crisis that I alluded to and the anniversary of that. I think it's the first time I'm discussing this without the possibility of Monroe Littman calling up, and that's sad. That's really sad. That was, a regular part would be of him heckling me, and it was certainly a time. I think he and John Stanley had an interesting, good grasp of what that was about. Our studio phone line here is area code 917-580-6020. Again, 917-580-6020 if you want to chat on the air. If you're going to pledge, the phone number is 516-620-3602. Wow, these can get confusing. Well, you only have 10 digits to pull from, right? But there's a lot of 20s and 02s and 6020 as opposed to 620 and 66, 551, 6620, 3602. That's another way of looking at it, right? But to call here and talk on the air is 517-580-6020. And yes, announcements. I wanted to do an announcement and I had forgotten. Yes, we did have a lovely event last night with the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings. And we had Paul Witkover and Sarah McCary, and a good time was had by all. But next week there is another reading series coming up a week from tonight. Well, if you consider tonight being Wednesday night. And that is the Kindred reading series. And actually, I probably know most of this by heart, but I want to get the email with that information in front of me. Yes, it's Wednesday the 13th, Friday the 13th, falls on a Wednesday this year, this month, at the Word Bookstore at 136 Franklin Street in Greenpoint. That's between Milton and Noble. And this is, if you were tuned in, at the beginning of the year, as a matter of fact, about 5 weeks ago, Jen Brissett and I'm very tired this morning, Sam was here, and I'm blanking on Sam's name. It's awful. He was doing an a queer reading at Blue Stockings Books with some very fine people. And but that was sort of a one-off, and he may do a couple more. But Jen is trying to keep the Kindred reading series on a regular basis. And we have two of our favorite people are going to be reading next Wednesday night, and they are N.K. Jemisin, that is Nora Jemisin, and Daniel Jose Older. And let me read the bios here. N.K. Jemisin is author of speculative fiction, short stories and novels. Her short stories can be found in Clark's World, Postscript, Strange Horizons, Bane's Universe, Ideomancer, and Abyss and Apex. She currently has written five novels, The Inheritance Trilogy, which includes the 100,000 kingdoms, the broken kingdoms, and the kingdom of gods, and the dream blood duology, which were the killing moon and the shadowed blood, all are from Orbit Books. Her work has been nominated for the Hugo twice, the Nebula twice, and the World Fantasy Award, shortlisted for the Crawford, the, I don't know this name, Gemmell, Morningstar, and the Tiptree, and she's won a Locus Award for Best First Novel, as well as the Romantic Times Reviewer's Choice Award. And Daniel Jose Older is a writer, composer, and paramedic of Jewish and Cuban heritage. His short stories have appeared in Strange Horizons, Flash Fiction, Cross Genres, and the Innsmouth Free Press, and the Subversion Anthology. No. That anthology is just called Subversion, so it's not the Subversion Anthology, I happen to know. He is the author of the short story collection Salsa Nocturna, published by Cross Genres Press. He is also a member of the Brooklyn-based soul quartet Ghost Star, which mixes old blues, classic jazz, and funk. Everybody involved here is from Brooklyn, which is as it should be. Okay, so again, that's next Wednesday, February 13th at Word Bookstore, 126, I think I said 36 before, but I'm not wearing my glasses, 126 Franklin Street between Milton and Noble Street in Greenpoint. It starts at 7 p.m. Admission is free. It's a really nifty bookstore, and nifty bookstores should be supported. So Jen Northington will be one of your hosts there, and of course, Jen Brissett. So, and I'll be there. I'm planning on recording it because it's, well, too good not to record. So there. Okay. Poison Darts. Poison Darts is one of the joys of WBAI when I was first listening. And I was lucky enough to get not even a cameo. Steve Post is one who gets the cameo. I had the silly role. The very silly role on an episode of the program. But hey, silly is as silly does, or something like that. And, well, it's surreal, okay? It's definitely spec fic, science fiction, fantasy, or whatever. What it is it is thoroughly, totally surreal. And as we used to say before certain shows, actually more before Techie Time, but it certainly applies to Poison Darts as well, that a relaxed mind and stereo headphones are highly recommended.
Hello, who is this?
By
Janet
the way,
and Blanche.
That's the church intercom
Janet
you're hearing there.
Who?
Janet Coleman and Blanche Marker. We're here to do Poison Darts. Jen and Blanche!
Okay, that wasn't my
Janet
doing. It quit on me. The stream quit on me, okay?
We're here to do Poison Darts.
Let's see if it plays out, and if it doesn't, we're going to have to figure out something else.
This is Poison Arts.
Brought to you on WBAI by
Reza Dada McClay.
Starring Janet Coleman,
David Dozer,
Blanche Martin,
and Otis McClay.
With special guest stars
Peter Navarre,
Jim Freund,
Peter Zanger,
and Steve Post
as Uncle Sam.
Every time it rains,
it rains.
The Poisoned Arts Council Radio Theater is on the air. Old Opt, Charles Andrews, ex-chestnut vendor, press agent to Kings, arm flapper in infinity, and his pretty young wife, Emily Ann, are at home this cold February evening, roasting potatoes in their fireplace with Mr. Wobburn, the old man they adopted from the welfare department.
Charles, is that my potato burning?
Potato burning?
It's just a piece of log, Emily Ann.
I don't want my potato burned.
Of course not.
I want my potato to be perfect.
Oh, which is your potato?
The one that looked like a face that was thinking about something.
About what?
There were several with thoughtful faces.
No, mine looked like Charles.
What?
Oh, that potato.
A potato looked like me?
It's mine. I saw it first.
Well, why are we roasting it? I never saw a potato that looked like me.
Well, there's always one or two in a sack.
Well, I never saw one. And if I did, I certainly wouldn't roast it.
It's a potato, Charles. You're supposed to roast it.
Well, I wouldn't roast a potato that looked like you.
Why not?
Well, I'd save it.
Oh, Charles.
And stick it up on your wall, eh, Charles?
Stick it up on your wall.
Charles?
Well, I don't see why you take a potato for yourself that looks like me with a thoughtful expression and roast it.
It was the biggest.
Oh.
And it wasn't exactly a thoughtful expression on the potato that looked like you, Charles.
Oh, no?
I thought that potato looked freaked.
Something's burning. Give me the poker, Charles.
Freaked is thoughtful.
Oh, where is it?
Em! You stabbed my potato.
My potato?
Well, yeah, the one that looks like me. You stabbed it. How could you stab it?
It's only a potato, Charles.
A potato that looked like me. It's like you're performing some kind of vegetable voodoo.
It is not.
It is so.
It is not.
Well, it feels like it.
All I did was stab a big potato.
Yeah, that looked like me with a freaked expression. How could you do it?
I had to.
You had to? You mean a compulsion? Something made you stab the Charles potato?
No, Charles.
Well, then why did you stab my potato replica? My spud twin?
To let the steam out. You were about to explode.
I was?
I'm bored.
Oh.
You don't have to be bored, Mr. Wauburn. There's lots of potatoes. Oh, no, company.
Well, who's that?
And there's only 10 potatoes.
Don't worry, Emily Ann. It's probably... has never been to a potato party before. I told him it's BYOP.
Him?
Him.
Oh, I keep forgetting she's a man.
Hello, Mr. Wauburn.
Hi. Come on in.
I hope I'm not late.
Not a bit.
Hi, Emily Ann.
Hi.
Hi, Charles.
Oh, hi.
Did you bring potatoes?
Sure. It's BYOP. I've got them here.
Oh, in a flute case?
Yes, I got it in ancient Egypt.
Oh, at the Temple of Isis.
Ooh, look at those potatoes, Charles.
What?
They all look like George Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Toss him in the fire.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You're not going to roast potatoes that look like George Washington, are you?
No.
Oh, I think not.
I already roasted them before I came down.
What?
Better stab them with a poker and let out the steam.
Oh, no, wait.
Right.
Wow, look at them gush.
Smells like ghee.
Sure, these are potatoes from my planet, Peru.
Boom! Potatoes, Charles.
Vegetable voodoo.
Let's eat.
Yeah.
And then we can go to a groovy George Washington birthday party.
With refreshments?
Sure. They're having a cherry pie eating contest.
Wow!
Who's giving the party?
The AAAA.
Oh, alcoholic...
Automobiles?
No, the American Association.
Oh, it sounds sort of fascist.
No.
Where'd you get the invitation?
On the street. A stormtrooper gave it to me.
I want to go, Charles.
Oh, but Em...
There's a cherry pie eating contest. Come on.
Well, what about the potatoes?
Oh, we'll bring them with us. I can eat them on the way to warm up.
Come on, Charles. A party will do you good.
Look at all the people, Charles.
Oh, quite a number.
Patriots.
1,776.
You count so fast.
I'm not the only one who can so fast. Look at the woman in the wicker rocker making flags.
Heavens to Betsy.
Revolutionary flags, Charles.
Oh, no, Em. Stars and Stripes.
But 13 stars.
Now, next on the George Washington's birthday party agenda, few words from Uncle Sam.
Sehr gesund.
Thanks. The Lost and Found Committee reports they have someone's bald eagle.
What color?
Well, what color? It's eagle-colored.
Mine was blue.
Well, whoever lost the eagle-colored eagle
should pick it up now, as the eagle has already begun to eat the other items. So far, a wig and a musket. Thank you.
I'm hungry, Charles.
You are?
The pie-eating contest will be coming up soon.
Sure, look at all the pies.
I hope the eagle doesn't see them.
Next on the GWBP agenda, before we get to the pie-eating contest, you men can relax for a minute.
Men? Is it just for men?
Oh, Emily Ann.
I want to be in the pie-eating.
Oh, well...
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, all right. Okay, fine. Pie-eating's open to everyone, and thank you for your honesty there, little lady. Very George Washington of you.
You're welcome.
Next on the GWBP agenda... Let's sit here for a while.
The Toastmaster said I was very George Washington, Charles.
Well, what did the refrigerator say?
He was right.
Thank you.
People aren't usually that honest unless a cherry tree falls over on them.
What?
Next on the GWBP agenda, the final judgment of the Radical Amateur Show. Contestants number one now from Sacred Money High School, Ron and Rhoda Ringolivio.
Smoke dope, smoke dope. Give me that hemp, I'm gonna smoke some dope. Good enough for George at Valley Forge. Untie the prisoner, I'm gonna smoke some dope.
Contestant number two, the young poet from Yellow River, I.P. Daly.
There'll be sex in the streets, don't need no sheets, come dig the erotic, orgasmic feats.
Now, thank you. Contestant number three, from Open Kimona, the youngster who did the naked tap dancing, Seymour Hare.
Excuse, please.
A what?
Please to move your rocker away from foreign tree path.
Move your chair, Charles. She wants to chop a cherry tree.
Oh.
And the last finalist, contestant number four, the foreign exchange student, Samurai from Swordsman High.
Do you think I move far enough away?
You're all right,
Timber.
Charles.
Well, I'd better move over here. What happened?
A cherry tree fell over on you.
Oh, are you all right?
Oh, what cherry tree?
The one you're lying under.
I'm not lying.
Of course not. A cherry tree fell over on you.
Oh, Charles, are you all right?
Cherry tree fell over on me, Em. I have to be honest about it.
That's because a cherry tree fell over on you. Yeah. He seems to be all right, Emily Ann.
Oh, good.
Luckily, it was just a cherry tree.
Lucky? What was lucky about it?
The cherry tree looked like you, Charles.
What?
And now the... The winner is a tie between the foreign exchange chopper, Sammy Rye, and the man lying under the cherry tree over there.
Wow, Charles, you won!
How can a cherry tree look like me? And I'm not lying.
It had a freaked expression.
Vegetable voodoo.
Yes, in a way.
Huh?
Empty jars, Lafayette's. Empty jars,
Lafayette's. Oh, Charles,
Lafayette's. Oh, miss...
What's a...
Empty jar, sir. Lafayette.
Let me have four Lafayettes and one jar.
Lafayette?
Here you are.
They're red, white, and blue Napoleons.
Patriotic pastry.
The blue tastes like red.
Yes.
Well, what's the empty jar for?
That's in case the Lafayette makes you blookers.
Next on the GWBP agenda, the cherry pie eating contest.
Oh, boy, this is it. Oh! Wow, look at the size of those pies!
Sure, professional regulation contest size.
My.
Put the pies in a line there, Timmy.
Yeah.
The ladders?
The butches.
Oh, yeah. Will the pie-eating contestants please each report to a ladder?
Okay, see ya.
Good luck, Emily Ann.
A ladder?
They're going to get high.
It's regulation.
Well, I just hope Emily Ann doesn't get blookers.
Is there anyone else now for the pie eating?
Nah, Big Benny couldn't make it.
Oh.
He's got the measles.
Oh, yeah?
Arnold has the bloopers.
Yeah, pretty bad bloopers, too.
Does anyone else wish to enter the pie eating?
our annual pie-eating contest, the annual George Washington birthday party cherry pie-eating contest. Anyone?
Hey, Charles, there's an extra pie. Come on.
No.
Charles, there is an extra pie and a ladder all set up. Would you like to join in there, fella?
No, I think it's stupid.
What's with him?
Who is he calling stupid?
Thank you for your honesty there, fella.
Don't pay any attention. He's just telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
We will then proceed with
the five
contestants. Here now with the rules for you all is the GWBP annual CPEC chairman, Jumping Jack Baker.
Thank you. As stated in the latest Cherry Pie Eating Contest Committee quarterly report, rule number 17B has been amended to read, contestants' pet eagles may not enter upon or into the pie at any time during the contest until a winner has been declared.
Well, somebody'd better explain it to my bird.
Well, you can explain it to the bird later. I'm hungry.
Right, that's the spirit. In general, this year's pies have been weighed and measured and all conform to GWBP pie eating dimensions, 7 foot 6 inch diameter, 76 inches depth, minimum weight, 76 stone. On the signal, contestants will climb the ladders, dive into the pies, and eat. First contestant to completely finish an entire pie without getting the bloopers is the winner.
Thank you, Jack. That was real fun. Now, all you contestants, is everybody ready?
I'm ready. Ready.
Okay, on your marks, get set, go.
Look, Charles. Yay!
Oh, wow.
My.
That's it, Emily Ann. Both hands.
What's Em doing now?
Yeah, it looks like the side stroke.
She's really into it.
That's it, Emily Ann. Attack that crust.
Number two has the bloopers.
Oh, where's his jar?
Contestant number two disqualified for bloopers.
Oh, I'm okay.
Sorry, Jim. It shows all over you.
Come on, Emily Ann. You're in the lead now. Dig in.
Oh, contestant number four, you've bloopered out. Get out of the pie now.
Come on, Emily Ann.
Hey, new lead blooper.
Em's winning, Mr. Wobbin, and so fast.
This could be a record.
Or a movie.
I'm finished.
Wow.
In a record 57.6 seconds without a blooper, this year's winner of the GWBP Cherry Pie Eating Contest, the honest little lady there with the fascinating freestyle...
Emily Ann Andrews.
Emily Ann Andrews.
Charles, I won!
Oh, yeah. Oh, careful, Em. You're sticky. Oh,
did you see me?
Oh, sure. I was right here.
That was pretty good pie.
Nice eating, Emily Ann.
Thank you, Mr. Wobbin.
Dynamite!
You know, I usually prefer the kind with a crumbly top.
And now, the presentation of the prize to Emily Ann Andrews, winner of the pie eating. Come on up here, little lady, and get your prize.
Wow! Beside the pie, I get a prize! Oh, boy!
Yeah.
Come on, Charles, I'm getting a prize.
Oh, all right, I'm coming.
What a groove.
Right. And a little reflected glory for us, eh, Charles?
Oh, boy, I'm so excited.
A little reflected pie.
Oh,
Em, you're
boy.
Splattering crumbs and goo.
Oh, I am?
Well, look at yourself. You wallowed in pie.
And I won.
You look like a cruller.
On behalf of the GWBP CPEC, it's a pleasure to award you, boys. This here life-size replica of George Washington.
Oh, boy, look, Charles, it's a giant potato.
My.
that's first prize?
What a beauty!
Hey, this potato winked at me.
Oh, it sure looks like George Washington.
Did he have blue eyes?
No.
Neither does the potato. That moved.
Oh, yeah. I see what this is.
It's someone disguised as a potato.
No, this is George Washington.
What?
A potato?
It's a George Washington potato. Probably one of old Mr. Bunger's.
Who?
Oh, an android.
You mean it's not a big potato, Mr. Wobber?
No, Emily Ann.
Oh, phooey.
It's a popular image, potato android of George Washington.
The big potato's not a potato anymore, Charles.
Can't he change it?
Oh, who in Holy Harold is old Mr. Bunger's?
A friend of mine. I taught him some of the finer points of solitaire a few years ago, and he figured the rest out himself.
What is this place?
My!
Madam?
Oh, hello.
Oh, vegetable voodoo, a talking potato.
Sir?
We thought you were a potato.
Well, you're free to think so. I froze my ass off at Valley Forge.
But you're not a potato anymore.
You're George Washington.
Of that fact, I'm already aware. But what is this place?
Oh, it's the headquarters of the American Association.
Oh, I'm an American.
Oh, we all are, except...
What, sir?
I am a hippie from outer space. My name is...
I demand to know what's going on here.
Oh, just a party.
A George Washington birthday party.
Today's not my birthday. That passed a fortnight ago.
Oh, no. It's your birthday. Congress changed it.
The Congress changed my birthday?
That's right.
Well, you were too close to Lincoln.
Congress does not have that power.
Well, I'm telling you the truth, Mr. President. A cherry tree fell over on me.
What bloopers.
I'm hungry.
Em, this is George Washington.
We hold that truth to be perfectly clear.
Self-evident.
Self-evident. That's better.
Maybe I can get it exchanged.
Em?
Better go, Charles.
Em's hungry.
But this is George Washington. Think of all the questions he could answer.
Yes. So ask him.
Sure, this is your chance.
With my whole heart, I endorse a free exchange between government and citizen. For what other purpose does the government exist save but to serve its citizenry?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, Charles.
Ask him something.
All right. There's so much to ask. There's the whole spectrum of early American events. The inner personal configuration.
I am at your service.
Mr. President, are you bald under that wig?
Hey, Charles!
Huh?
Oh, look!
Yeah.
Good news!
Emily Ann, what are you doing up that ladder?
They said I could have the spare!
But Em! Emily Ann!
Cherry pie bullseye!
What bloopers?
What happened to her? Em! Oh, Em!
She's probably starting this pie at the bottom.
Or maybe it's a fruit and vegetable voodoo, and she's trapped in there.
Well, that's possible.
It is?
Old Mr. Bungers may have had a hand in that pie.
Oh, I'm going after Emily Ann.
Charles!
I'm coming, Em!
Yay!
He's out of sight!
We'd better go in after him. Charles can get lost and freaked faster than anybody.
Right!
But the little woman?
Emily Ann's in there!
Charles won't find her without help if this is one of Mr. Bunger's jobs. Come on! Are you with us, Washington?
I will see this through to the end, sir.
Come on, after Charles! This way!
Where is Emily Ann?
She's deep into it by now.
Have we lost her?
She is not lost. Emily Ann was the first one in. This pie is under her authority. This way. Let's try in here.
There's Emily Ann!
And then I'll have cauliflower quiche. A bowl of cherry pumpkin soup with walnuts. A Jerusalem artichoke with martini butter. A lemon omelet. Better make that too. Pasta with peanuts and prosciutto. Oh, that sounds terrific.
Ah, no need to bother Emily Ann now. We'd better look for Charles.
Guacamole with tomato crackers.
What's oysters Rockefeller?
Come on.
Frito-Lay soup, coconut jumbles, and violet mousse.
A piece of door broke off in my hand.
Eat it, Washington.
You eat it.
Sure. It's gingerbread.
Coconut peach.
This way. Through here. Yeah, follow me. Charles?
Why don't you get off my back?
I was here first!
Oh, yeah? Hello. What?
Hello there, Charles.
Mr. Woburn!
Everything's all right.
Oh, hi! Hi, Mr. President. I'm glad you got here. This cherry is giving me a hard time.
I was here first!
Get off my back! Leave me alone! I'm trying to find Emily Ann, you dreadful little piece of fruit!
Forget Boy. About the cherry, Charles.
What cherry?
Good. Come on.
I'm glad you got here. I didn't want to be the only one to have it. Didn't want to be the only one to have it! Glad you got here! Where are we?
This way, Charles. Ah!
What's this?
TV!
We're in Studio 76.
Look, there's Emily Ann.
TV.
It's the Emily Ann Andrews Show with
Ann
tonight's
show?
Guests.
We're in her
Ron pie. And Rhoda Ringolivio. Oriental Walk Welder. Head waiter, Henry Trey. Leonard Bologna and his All Cheese Orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, Emily Ann Andrews.
Thank you, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for your applause. I really appreciate it. But, of course, you know, I'd rather have kisses. Candy kisses. I had candy kisses for lunch today. They were really excellent. Almost as good as the peppermint hugs. I'm only kidding, I'm only kidding. Actually, today for lunch, I had a grapefruit. I asked the waiter. I said to the waiter, what happened to this grapefruit? Thank you, I really appreciate it. I'd rather have...
What would you like?
I'd rather have a donut. Do you have any donuts, Leonard?
I had a donut.
Oh. Getting back to the grapefruit, I said to the waiter, grapefruit has no cherries. You know, that's an amazing thing in this place. No cherries. Luckily, I brought my own with me. From outside. I brought it in my boot.
What else did you have today, Em?
Violet mousse. My husband Charles likes hamburgers. For our anniversary, he gave me a hamburger press. You know, the lemon meringue pie around here is really non-existent. For dessert today, I had to order chicken soup. And now, folks, my first guests, I'm sure you'll love them. That's Ron and Rhoda Ringolivio.
Smoke dope. Smoke dope. Give me that heaven for to smoke some rope. Good enough for George at Valley Forge. Untie the prisoner. I'm gonna smoke some dope.
Wow, kids, that was really wonderful. We love
your group get together?
Well, I was having sex with Judy when we were living
really
in the garage.
Fantastic. That's just really terrible.
Well, I guess we could wait to ask about the lyrics, but what was your opinion about the lyrics?
Originally inspired by the fact that we'd noticed them when we were...
No kidding! Terrific, just terrific. Now, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but tell me, what do you consider your favorite cookies?
Well, actually, I've been shooting cookies for about a year and a half.
Oh, what was that letter? Folks, we have a big, big surprise for you. If you'll just hold it down for a minute. Leonard Baloney just found out we have a special guest in the audience. None other than the father of our country himself. It's George Washington. Come on up, George. Come on up and take a bow. Now, George, what do you think is your greatest achievement?
I froze my ass off at Valley Forge.
Well, at least you didn't get the bloopers.
On tonight's show, Peter Navard appeared as George Washington through the courtesy of the $1 bill. Old Op, starring Janet Coleman as Emily Ann Andrews and David Dozer as her husband Charles, with Blanche Marker as the hippie, is a copyrighted feature of Reza Dada McClay. The part of Mr. Wobbin is played by Coswell Flinder. Your announcer has been Fettigan Voich.
You've been listening to Poison Arts,
brought to you on WBAI by
Reza Dada McClay,
starring Janet Coleman,
David Dozer,
Blanche Marker,
and Otis McClay,
with Gary Freed on doorbell.
Poisoned Arts is written by David Dozer,
directed by Otis McClay.
Original music either by Murd Guncraft or Elliot Kaplan.
Radio technique by Peter Zanger.
This program is produced in the United States of America.
Oh, those places. This is WBAI in New York City. Listener sponsored non-commercial Pacifica radio at 99.5 FM. Ah, yes, those were dem days. So I am not sure of the year of that broadcast. I would have been 68 or 69, I think. PC says, no way, it's 71. But it can't be. Because that more, now, you know, on the other hand, it would have had to have been like 1970 at least. I take it all back because we recorded that at the church. And I certainly remember a very, very little complicated portion there. You may recall the Japanese woman hacking down the cherry tree while Charles and Emily Ann are shouting at each other. There's the sound effects of the chopping, the tree toppling over, Charles going, yay, Emily Ann talking. And so Peasy, Peter Zanger, was using like all the studios at once in order to mix that down. And I sat there watching that process, being absolutely enthralled in the entire thing. So anyhow, the fact that that was done at the church, the fact that that was done at our studios on 62nd Street means it had to have been like 1971 or so. I just don't want to admit it. But that also means, that it's not my absolute radio debut. I would have been on somewhere before that. But I like calling that my radio debut, and so does Janet and everybody. So there, so be it. So we're going to say that was my radio debut, but that was, of course, the hippie from outer space. Poisoned Arts ran for many years. It was one of the things, part of the PYP block of programming on BAI, that was programs for young people, that we always had young people's programming every day from when school let out, from like 3 p.m. till 5, when the drive time programming began. And I always, and well, being a young person, I thought that was very cool. And that included shows like The Radio, Techie Time, and Poison Darts, and great stuff. And hopefully those days will not all be behind us. And we're blind pitching today. That is, we close our eyes, give out a phone number at random, and ask you to call that phone number at random. And if somebody says, hi, may I take your pledge? Well, then it's a miracle, and you've got to pledge money. So the phone number at random that I'm giving out is area code 516-620, let's see, 36... Let's make it weird. 3602, okay? Yeah, 516-620-3602. Just call that number at random and make a pledge to WBAI, will you? So that hopefully the days of the past will become the days of the future. We're not talking about cyclic. I'm not cyclic at all. I don't predict the future. I'm so out of it. It's a hope for a continuance, not a continuance in court, a continuance of WBAI, which no doubt will be in court again and again, as has been our history before. Just call and pledge, will you? Area code 516-620-3602. I was giving out the number to call on the air and wondering, it's sort of unusual not to get one phone call, but so during that Poison Darts, I called all the various numbers myself. Bupkis. Nothing. They're not working. So, you know, you can call those numbers to talk on the air, but it's not rudeness that I'm not taking your call. It's, well, it is rudeness, but it's rudeness committed to all of us, okay? Not just you. It's to me as well. It's... I'm not enjoying this move, gang. I am just not enjoying it. But be that as it may, we will muddle through. I am absolutely serious when I tell you that things are dark, things are dire. They ain't what they are supposed to be here. But I have seen the station in worse shape than we are now. That's probably saying a lot. But again, going back to the whole February of 1977 business that I was talking about earlier, we were in much worse shape. We also took a major dive in listenership that we still haven't fully recovered from. But it was... The point is, we survived it. And for some reason, I don't know why, I believe we will survive this as well. This move to Vinegar Hill. That's Lister's looking at me. The campus, after you get onto the campus, you have to walk up Vinegar Hill. Not Sugar Hill, Vinegar Hill. It's called Vinegar Hill. And it's supposed to be a rather steep incline. Like 30-degree incline. Imagine that with weather, you know, like it's going to be this Friday with, you know, 50 mile per hour wind and snow and sleet. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Got a bathroom at the top of the hill?
I certainly hope so. Or else it's going to be vinegar. Or else we're just going to be peeing vinegar. That's, you know, basically it. So, I'm very pleased, by the way, what they would usually do during these fun drives is they would let us on, us being the overnight people, like Lister and myself, maybe once or twice during a 4 or 5 week fun drive. And the rest of the time, they'd play recordings of other people begging for money. And aside from the fact that, you know, the whole blood from a turnip kind of thing, aside from that, it's how much are you really expecting to get at this hour repeatedly? Understood that one can make some money at this hour, and I fully expect that right now, all you folk, everybody hearing me is calling 516-620-3602. But it's only going to happen once or twice during each fundraising drive. And given that we do three or four fundraising drives a year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not right to penalize both the overnight producers and the overnight listeners by taking the shows away when we're not necessarily getting a return for it. So it's pitching this week, pitching next week, and then back to regular programming, at least for the overnights. The daytime people, they can pitch. And you, daytime or nighttime listener, I hope you will heed the call. Or make the call, and we will heed it. Or at least the people at the 516 number will heed it. Somebody better darn well be heeding that call, is all I gotta say, okay? 516-620-3602 is that number. Please heed it. Please call it. Please make a pledge. I am not pitching premiums. I am pitching WBAI. I am pitching that this radio station is an amazing, vibrant, even now wonderful, wonderful place, and that it can only exist. It can only do the weirdness of something like Poisoned Arts with your support and with your help. So please make that call, make that pledge. It will be noted that that pledge came in while I was on the air. It helps my show. It helps, well, assuming that there's something about my show you like, it helps you listening to my show, and most importantly, it goes to listener-sponsored radio. It goes to keep us broadcasting, to keep us alive. Area code 516-620-3602. I am going to put together a little compendium of phone numbers I've known at WBAI. I figure there have to have been at least 10. I've worked this, when we moved to Vinegar Hill, that'll be our fifth location for me, just for me, the sixth location for WBAI, the fifth for me, and each location has had multiple phone numbers. So it's got to be like a dozen phone numbers that I've been pitching through the years, and I'll say, oh, yes, please call now 279, somebody, you know, like comes in and just looks at me weird and say, what was that number? I was like, oh, God, that was 20 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. You get into a pace, you get into a rap, you get into a rhythm while you are pitching, and your mind begins to transcend reality. And just think of the pledge. Think upon the pledge. Make that pledge. Make that call. Do the thing. Thing the do. Dial the number. 516-620-3602. Yeah. This has been Hour of the Wolf over WBAI in New York City. My name is Jim Freund. You can find me on Facebook in the Hour of the Wolf group. There's also the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings group, the NYRSF group, and both are public groups, but for some reason they ask you to join it. Just join, you know. I'll click you in as soon as I see it. Or you can visit ourwolf.com, mine own website, and I'll be glad to see you there. And you can also write me there, Jim@ourwolf.com. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for Burn Baby Burn Clapper with Lister coming your way on these airwaves very shortly. We go out with Steel Eye Span and Sails of Silver. Have a good week. Try to stay warm and be good to each other. Good morning.
Burn, baby, burn. but this time not on a slave ship. Let's find the people who hate this. These are the places we'll hit.
Number one,
Panama, talking about Peru, Azania, Brixton, Belfast, can't forget Korea, Beirut, can't forget Haiti, Iran, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Mexico, talk about Uptown, Harlem, New York City, y'all, and Nicaragua, East and South Central, LA, California, IA, Miami, do or die, Bed-Stuy, never ran, never will, Brownsville, boogie down, South Bronx, yeah.
My man Joey to jail, and now they got him in court because he burned the flag. That's the name of the game. Well, I quit playing. I doubt the suckers want you to hear what I'm saying about this nation. Freedom supposed to be the format, but I step on your flag like it's a floor mat. Maim and mangle, the star spangle. I'm not trying to diss you. I use the flag like toilet tissue to wipe my black ass. What? You think that I'm a jackass? I see a flag and I attack fast with some fire. My desire to burn what Betty Ross sold up. The truth I show up about America, America, home. Free. Boom! This is the home of the slave. Now hold on just a mother minute. You gave me freedom of speech in the First Amendment. So why wanna scold me when I torch the flag? I'm only doing what you told me. You don't like it, so what? I'm not scared of you. Your flag, America too. See, I made up this new rule and I want y'all to learn it. Strike a match to the American flag and burn it.
At exactly 7 minutes after 3 o'clock, this is why we do this. Because... 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. This is one of the most critical begathons right here at Pacifica Radio WBAI. To keep this militant canary flying at the end of the tunnel. If you could just write a check for 516-220-3602 Dalskis, that would really do the trick. But we have to be realistic right about now, because we do have some great volunteers at exactly 516-620-3602 just for you. And we need you. We need you to keep this going, because sometimes the equipment doesn't work, and you know how that feels, right? It feels like we should have a begathon, get a whole brand new set of equipment, move out of this wrecked 120 Wall Street to somewhere that's much better. You can help us do that. Davis, we need two more telephone calls at 516-620-3602. We don't have any matching funds this week, but next week we'll try and set up some matching funds to help you out right here. But first, we got to get off the ground. We got to keep the momentum going from Robert Knight, Jim Freund, to Burn Baby Burn. 516-620-3602. Just give what you can afford. And if you're outside Imperialist America, you can go online at wbai.org and just follow the prompts. And with a credit card, a Visa, a MasterCard, it will make it happen much faster in the coffers of WBAI. All right. 516-620-3602. Let's keep the music going. Thank you very much, Pablo Moses. You don't hear too much Pablo Moses on the radio in these parts, right? Unless you listen to the Midnight Ravers with Terry Wilson. Speaking about Terry Wilson, 516-620-3602, just for you. Yes, I. Yes, I. Watch that. I love it, I love it. Give me the dub. The robot dub.
I love it, give me the dub, the rubber dub.